cliffcentral.com.
Can you see us and can you hear us? Hello! There we are, like magic. Look at us doing our thing. Of course, we would have our share of technical difficulties to start the show this morning, but I'm not going to belabor that on the first morning of 2022 that we're doing a live show. Hey, morning, Bulelo.
Good morrow. What say you?
Hi, hi.
What's happening, peoples? How's your holiday?
One didn't take leave.
Oh, Jesus.
One worked all the way through, and one has sorely realized their mistakes.
Oh God! So you haven't had a break at all.
No,
worked all the way through. You didn't do Christmas or anything.
Yeah, I did Christmas and New Year's Day. Yeah. Because they're public holidays, so I was safe there. But as for the rest, it was soldiering on.
And yours, Mbulelo?
No, very much the same for me. Worked right through. I mean, Christmas and the 26th, Boxing Day on a weekend anyway. So it wasn't really, it's an extra 2 days, you know. But no, it's been good, man. It's been good. It was great for me. It's awesome.
Well, I was going to come in here and complain about how I just don't feel like I had enough holiday. But right now I feel that would be really... That would be very miserly of me, considering what you two just said. So I've been out complained. I have no way out of this. I may not say anything now. I've just got to get on it and be grateful for what I had.
Did you do any like weekends away or anything like that?
Oh yeah. For New Year, I went out into the bush. A couple of friends. There were about 8 of us, and we had an amazing New Year. It was really fun. Just like 4x4ing up and down mountains. Shot a lot of guns, which was fun, at the shooting range before anyone accuses me of being like some kind of monster. But we did. We had more guns than people. Cooked a lot of food, made a lot of fires. I mean, it was only 3 days really that we were there, and it felt like a proper break though. So that was terrific.
That's awesome.
But other than that, mm-hmm. I decided to just stay at home and chill. I was going to go to Cape Town, and there's a whole lot of stuff I was going to do. And I just decided at the beginning of it, you know what? I got enough going on here. I'm happy. So I think we did that 3 days, and that was it. I did nothing else. I was pretty much at home. It was good. It was really good. Sleeping late, you know, recharging the batteries, getting things going. I'm not going to say that I didn't feel quite refreshed, but you get back to work the first day and you're like, oh, you know, back here again. Look at this shit.
Another year.
Yeah, I know. And I see all these people who've died while we were away, and I'm like, oh, must we start every year with like looking back at all the dead people? I suppose we do, because Betty White and the Arch were two people we really liked.
Yeah, absolutely. You know?
I was very
sad about those two.
I know.
Actually shed a tear for the Arch. Betty White, I ended up watching a documentary that I've seen before.
Yeah.
Just following her career in broadcasting and television. And just such a consistent human being. I think that was the thing for both of them. They were
right.
Just consistent. You know?
Yeah, but they were also nice people, and like everybody you knew would have something nice to say about either of those people. I've never met anybody who said, oh, you know, that Archbishop Tutu, what a piece of shit that guy was, or Betty White, oh, what a miserable old bitch. Nobody ever said that, right? Nobody, because there was just nothing. There was nothing. They were almost like these very rare and exceptional people who nobody says anything horrible about. And listen, they say if nobody says anything horrible about you, you've either been boring or you're not human. But I think for those two, it's true. Are there any people left that we can say that about that are still alive?
That you know or exist on Earth?
That exist on Earth. I mean, I don't want to hear about like your uncle Fred, who's been a really nice guy his whole life and he helped the poor and all that nonsense. I mean, that's not what I'm talking about, like well-known people who have these just greater than human reputations. You know, everybody goes, oh wow, this must be one of the most amazing people in the world, and they just did no wrong and everybody loved them. There are none of those left, right?
Well, it's tough. I think the skill of and the virtue of Desmond and well, I'd say Desmond, Betty White, to whatever extent, you know, is that he wasn't polarizing. You know, in Twitter age, even if you are Tutu levels.
Are you kidding? I don't know that's true. Like, he seems to be able to have got away with something nobody else did. Like, he said that the ANC were a bunch of thieves and that they should be punished. You remember how, like, he was very outspoken about things like that, especially towards the end of his life.
No, but because he was consistent, no, you didn't hear pushback. You know, when other people come out and say crazy nonsense, like, no one from the ANC or the other side ever said anything about Tutu. He's maybe the last of the guys who could say that. And
I don't know. There were people in the ANC who were outspoken about him, like, oh, that old man should be quiet, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't know if you can be down the middle anymore, not in the age of Twitter. I don't know if we'll ever have that time.
You know who someone suggested, Sidney Poitier, because of course he also died, right? Like, I mean, what a guy that was. He was also someone that everybody looked up to, and that everybody liked.
You know what I was thinking is, do you think it would be less sad if we didn't give people names? You were just citizen 608909. Like, oh, did you hear 909 died?
No, don't be like, don't go into your George Orwell world now.
The corporation.
What are you trying to do? What would that solve? It would just change the way we refer to each other and make it even more distant. Well, that kind of is how people on the metaverse are going to be with each other, right?
That's what I mean.
Nicknames and numbers.
Yeah.
It's not going to be better. Don't tell me that'll be better.
You don't think so, huh? All right, well, we're destined to be sad then.
While we're doing the obituaries, I see Bob Saget died. You remember him from Full House?
No.
Yes.
Yeah, I woke up this morning and I saw a thing on Instagram from some comedian and I thought, what? Bob Saget? He was the guy from Full House. Remember the dad?
Yeah, America's Funniest Home Videos and the homes of prostitutes across the world for the last 10 years.
Right, right. So apparently they responded to a hotel in Orlando after hotel security had found Bob dead in his room. He's found dead on the scene. Circumstances still unclear.
Wow.
He's been touring the country, doing a lot of stand-up, and he was doing a show in Jacksonville. But, I mean, he's not that old. He was, what, 65?
Yeah, but he's been living, Gareth. I don't know if you've been keeping an eye on Bob Saget's life recently.
No.
He has been full on into the narcotics and ladies of the night.
Wow.
Oh yeah. No, Bob Saget.
Is that why you said prostitute?
Yeah. Oh no, he's well known.
I thought there was a show that he did.
Homes of Prostitutes in America. Yeah, it sounds like a good show.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. No. He's been living, and you know, this is what happens.
That's quite a shocker. I suppose you get that when you play this wholesome character that everyone remembers you for.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of wholesome characters, I have to tell you, and I do love an "I told you so" on the show every now and then. But Bulelo and I, we did a "We told you so" on Britney Spears before the holidays, and she's since then. You're smiling. Why are you laughing, Leanne? You tell everybody.
I haven't kept up with what she's doing, so I'm waiting for the news from you.
Okay, that's convenient. Let me. Well, since you asked. So Britney Spears posted a whole bunch of nude pictures. She put like one of those fruit emoticons or whatever over a vagina. But she's like, I mean, I can't even show you the pictures here because then they'll deplatform us or whatever. But yeah, she's been doing exactly what Simbulelo and I predicted that she would do. She's gone nutty. She's circulating. And she's hard at work, embarrassing herself just the way we thought.
So posting nude pictures of yourself means you're nutty.
Well, if you are a famous pop star who's trying to get your reputation back
and prove that you can live on your own
and prove that you can look after your kids, then you should really not be if Bulelo just suddenly decided to do nude pics, that would be fine because he doesn't have to try and get custody of his own children back or because his job on this show isn't contingent on him being clothed. We don't really give a shit. I mean, I wouldn't fire him if he put nude pictures out, but if if you were looking to convince the world that you were not a nutcase, yeah. So just saying, there's that to talk about too at some point. And we'll get back to her, I have no doubt.
Oh, she's unlike the ANC, she has delivered.
Right, right, exactly. So Amir being very sympathetic here, saying this morning, Amir says, I guess it's not so full house anymore. Yeah, our house is empty. Yeah. Wow. Ooh. I always hated that show. I'll be honest with you, I never liked Full House. And it was on when I used to get home from school as a kid. I mean, it wasn't on then, but it was on, you know, in the afternoons. And I always hated that that opening song. I hated those two twins, those irritating little girls. I didn't like the fat one either. It was just a shit cheesy show, and I never liked it. And Bob Saget, besides that show, I didn't really know much about. So I can't say that this is, this is the, like, if you told me that, that the other guy who played, the dude in Dumb and Dumber, Uncle Joey, the other one, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Because he was in that show. Like, if you told me he was dead, I'd be more upset than Bob Saget.
What about John Stamos?
Remember? I like John Stamos. You know what John Stamos is doing now? You know what his full-time job is?
Yeah, he's David Dobrik's producer now.
No, better than that.
What's he doing?
It may not be his full-time job, but his part-time job is he's the drummer for the Beach Boys.
Oh, yeah, why not? I mean, once you've done Full House and you've had Rebecca Romijn as your wife, what's left in life? Yeah. Just go and play drums. You've already clocked the game. Yeah.
Not play drums. Play drums for the remaining members of the Beach Boys. That's I think that's a pretty awesome gig.
That's awesome.
And he tours. I mean, what a band, first of all. Even if it isn't the original guys in all of their glory, because, like, you know, they've broken up and made up, and some of them have gone and done solo stuff. And I can't even remember which of the original guys, certainly not Brian Wilson. I mean, he's like he's got the Parkinson's and he's a disaster at the moment. But the other guys who are still around, I mean, they're old now, so it's like a bunch of, it's really like your grandpa and his friends who are doing their thing, but it's still the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I would still
they've gathered a bit of moss, but they're okay.
Yeah.
Like, I'd play the triangle for Kiss. You know, that it doesn't reduce it. Yeah. Like, I'd hold the triangle. Bing.
Yeah. So you can say what you like about them, but I mean, Uncle Jesse playing the drums for the Beach Boys is way cooler than being Uncle Jesse in Full House.
100%.
You know what I mean? And we got to talk about, obviously, Tracy says this is very big news for her. She says, Ghislaine Maxwell found guilty. Prince Andrew is shitting in his pants. He's going to become irrelevant and erased like his uncle, Prince John.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, listen, isn't he, like, if he goes to America, he's in big shit now, right? Prince Andrew, because they want to extradite him, or I don't know. He's a wanted man in America, basically. So he's just got to stay in England and hope his mother stays alive and keeps him under her protection. Otherwise, he's in big trouble, right?
How old is he? What's he, like, 60?
I wonder if Charles would protect him.
I don't know that they really love each other so much. I'm not sure because I think Charles is embarrassed by, I think everyone's embarrassed about this. Prince Andrew is a bit of a mess. Like, the only thing you ever see about him now, if you even look him up on Wikipedia, it doesn't talk about how, you know, he does military service and he's the Queen's second son and all that shit. It's all like straight to the Epstein Island connection. That's what people say. Anyway, I think he is now, he's 61.
Yo, he's still got such a long life left. Yes. Oh my God. Yeah.
It's awful, right? Anyway, so a couple of things here from some of the people. Lovely Lady Lee says, hey, Gareth, welcome back. Did you put on some festive kilos? I did too. Hey, don't assume.
That is such a weird assumption.
Did you put on some festive? I did too. I didn't, bitch. All right. I was pretty good about, like, doing, you know, my regular training and not eating too much. And I said, I to be fair, lovely Lady Lee, I did say that I was worried that I'd become a big fat pig during the holidays. And I could quite easily have, because I did eat a lot, but I made sure I, you know, calories in, calories out. I don't know that I'm better, but I'm about the same. And I do weigh myself every couple of days just to check on that. And I think I'm about the same. So I'm not going to feel too guilty about it. I suppose I should have done a bit better. But I was, like I did tell you in that last week, that for some reason I had developed like a slightly watery toileting experience, you know? Remember I did say that? So I think I must have been, at one point, I must have been like 2 or 3 kilograms shy of my ideal weight, just because I had what was either a stomach bug or I'd eaten something or who knows. But I was quite impressed with that. So I reckon I'm just going to try and get another stomach bug and then I'll be paper yeah. away.
No, hand booth.
No. It's the only advantage, really.
Right. What? But yes, if you did put on the kilos, lovely Lady Lee, don't worry and don't feel bad because you'll get back to it. You know, today's really the day a lot of people are starting work again. Today's really the day a lot of people will kick into gear with their normal routine and all of those, ugh, I have to do this. You know, begrudgingly, they sort of force themselves to do the things they don't want to do. I mean, paying a lot of bills this week. You're going to look at your bank account and go, ugh. But you know what? It's not just you. So don't feel bad. Don't feel sorry for yourself. It'll be okay.
January is a long month.
Yeah. Yeah. And let's not add any more stuff to January, please. January is busy enough. There's enough pressure on January. Don't go and tell me it's International Trans Women's Day or whatever. Just leave January alone. It's got enough pressure. Everybody loves a bit of, you know, the last day of January. And we're already a couple of days in. I mean, we're starting this show today on the 10th. So before you know it, it'll be done. Grim and bear that month of January.
And also, don't call us for the money you spent in December that was supposed to be for school fees. Mm-hmm. We're tired. We're tired now.
No, you said so.
Mm-mm. We're tired. I'm not taking any of those calls.
You did. You warned us about that.
Yeah.
So I did see something funny about Prince Andrew. says Prince William. Prince William's been, apparently he got COVID over the holidays, so he was isolating with COVID-19, and Prince Andrew was isolating with Genevieve, who's 30.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, my gracious.
Anyway, I don't want to like do the obvious jokes because you probably heard them a couple of times at the Christmas table. Dog Ozzo says, I definitely put on some festive kilos, but I've been sticking to my routine nicely since the year started. That's very good. Glenda says, I'm curious to know what the gift was that you gave to all of your family. Okay, so I gave them all these tiny little cell phones that's like a couple of $100, but it's a proper working phone. But I swear it's the size of what is it? It's almost like, it's smaller than any cell phone. It's like a credit card size, I suppose, mm-hmm. but it's got little buttons on it and you can phone and you can make calls and you can receive calls on that device.
So it's not a smartphone.
No, it's a dumb phone. Mm-hmm. But you keep it in the cubbyhole of your car, for example, because it, you know, it charges and it's like those old Nokias. The battery will still be fine if you switch it on like 3 months later. And I've told them all to keep them as emergency phones because I remember I mentioned that my brother had his phone taken off of him at gunpoint last year. And that was a very shitty experience for him because he then had to go somewhere and like borrow someone's phone. And this is a good thing to have on you. And for ladies to just have in the handbag as the emergency phone, because you can forward calls to it and you can obviously receive, you use your normal phone to forward calls to that one. If you're if you're at an event or you're taking a long road trip or whatever, and you just want the little phone and you keep that on you as like an emergency and they all loved it. I don't know whether any of them switched them on yet or whether they've got a SIM card for them, but I wasn't going to do all of that as well, because then I'd have to have got 10 SIM cards and all that shit. So, but they liked them. So that was my idea.
I've got a little burner phone. I think it was about 200 Rand or something.
Yes.
bought it from Pep. The problem is it's so light compared to our big old smartphones.
Yes.
That when I pick it up to listen or to answer something, I end up throwing it over my shoulder.
Yeah, because you're not used to the weight. And also you can't believe that you can't do all these things on the screen. I mean, Listen, we used to think that was the height of technology when those mm-hmm. things came out. I remember my first cell phone, and I thought this thing was a marvel. You know, the only people who had mobile phones were those rich people in the late 80s, early 90s who had those enormous, I think they were Motorolas or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have them in the car, and it would be almost like a satellite phone. But it had a big, heavy battery pack, and you know, just you'd hold it over here because it was so big. And those things were like, you know, they were for very rich people, and it cost a fortune to make or receive a call. So you only did it in emergencies. Now we take all of this for granted, like it's been going on for ages.
Yeah, lady who cleans your house now has a cell phone that's the value of a salary.
Yes, I mean, and more technology on it than they had in the Apollo 11 lunar module.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's a question from Peter. He says, after all Leanne's years in the industry, can she not see how bad her lighting is? Can you not see yourself on your screen? And then someone else is saying, Leanne, it looks like the gates of heaven have opened up behind you, Quentin.
You know, the sun has changed, obviously, over the last few weeks that we've been off. Yeah. And I wasn't expecting this. It's coming out from all orifices. But,
well,
you
got to sort that out. Yeah, I mean, it looks like...
And as for the camera, I know it's not brilliant, and the lighting's not brilliant.
Oh, there we go. Jesus, now we can see you. What the hell did you have... What did you put grease from the turkey on your camera? What's that? I can see you now. You know how fuzzy you were the last half an hour?
What the hell was on there?
This is a very good cloth, I tell you.
You know what? Your house actually has color now. The cupboard behind you looks like a light blue. Oh my God.
Jesus, I'm going to put you on the full screen. Look, we can see your face. You know, you look like you were soft on the edges.
I thought I had glycoma.
Yeah,
I really thought I had glycoma. Here we are now.
That's hilarious. Okay. Oh, well, you know, I actually wrote a blog recently that a client required on taking good photographs with your iPhone.
Yeah, look
and
at
the
you.
number one step was wiping the lens.
Wow.
Yeah, look, well, go ahead and read that blog on leanne.com.
Yeah, wow. I want to read that blog. Could you send it to us as well, please, with your tips? You're so great. You know, it's like, do as I say, not as I do with you. Here are my tips for how you can look better on the camera. Number one, wipe the camera. And what does she do in the first show? She's like, oh, let me just clean this thing off.
Wow.
Remember how Dan used to clean his glasses? He would lick the actual lens of his glasses and then wipe them with his t-shirt.
So gross. So gross. But it was like the breathing and everything that went with it. It was like...
It was so revolting. Oh, I listened to Kamala Harris making a speech on January the 6th, you know, the day of the insurrection. She made this speech. They've got to really stop trotting that woman out. She is terrible, terrible, terrible at public speaking. She's got this really whiny voice for a start. But she was also doing all the mouth noises like, January the 6th is such an important day.
Oh, boy.
In our history, and like she's just insufferable, and it's almost as if she thinks she's addressing, maybe she really does feel like the American people are morons, and you know, in some of the ways that they behave you can't really blame her, but she's got this thing going on where she really talks down to people.
She's doing too much.
She Vice President, stay out of
thank
this.
You
just I don't know, do what a vice president, who even knew what Joe Biden was up to while Obama was president, right? He used to occasionally be comic relief. They'd show a picture and you go, who's that old man sitting next to Barack? Oh, that's the vice president. That's who that is. You don't want to know what they're up to. They don't really have a job. It's totally ceremonial.
You know who must write a book? It's a guy. Stedman is the guy who should be writing the book Since 1986, Stedman has played his role to a T. Nobody knows Stedman. He lives in the pool house. When Gail comes, he doesn't even come there. You know what I mean? He'll make coffee and probably go to the study. That's how you play your role as a 2IC. You know, Oprah must do the shine. I still want Stedman's book. I'm telling you, Stedman's the guy. And by the way, Stedman never gets credit because he's a dude, you know. It's always like,
yeah.
Oh, what a great woman behind the successful man. Has there ever been in the history of mankind a guy who stayed, or a human being that stayed in their place like Stedman? You never hear anything. You never hear any shine, nothing.
Yeah, but you know what? The reason he's so good at this, he doesn't want that shine. That's why he's so great. And there'll never be a book, Bulalo. There'll never be a book, not from him. He knows his place.
Since 1986, Stedman's been with Oprah.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Have you seen, it's a fairly new movie called The Wife, I think, with Glenn Close, where her husband is a Pulitzer Prize winning author.
Yeah.
And she's the woman behind him, and it's the story about her. But obviously there are enormous twists. But yeah, that's quite a good movie to look out for.
Well, listen, we got so much to get to. And I did say earlier it's going to be okay because, you know, how January goes. But we do have the incredible Dr. Hanan Bushkin back today for It's Going to Be Okay, which is awesome. One of my favorite things on Monday. And we start the road running with Collectomania this morning. That's going to be fun. So lots to talk about this morning. Lots and lots of good stuff. You can also get hold of us. You can send us a comment on the YouTube. Please remember to like and subscribe. And I do not want to do this every day of this year. So if you just do this as part of your contribution to the show, then I don't have to bring it up and we can all just get along. I don't want to be asking people every day, please like and subscribe and comment and forward the URL to your friends. Just do all of that stuff for me, will you? So I don't have to keep being on your case every day. I'd really like that. I'd appreciate that enormously. You'd be doing me a huge favor and you'd stop me from having this boring conversation every other day.
Excellent.
Let's all be adults about this. Let's be like Stedman. I'll be your Oprah. You support me in the background. Thank you.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Anyway, you're absolutely right about him and the vice president function. Like, just, yeah, Kamala Harris, someone needs to put her in a box. She's very unpopular. Joe Biden's popularity is sunk to, I think he's at 40% now. And he started off, you know, because let's face it, he's president. Why is he president? You want to have a go at this? Why did most people vote for Joe Biden?
Because they were voting against Trump.
Right. So if Joe just carries on being the senile, old, demented man and just shuts up and sits in the White House and lets the machines just do the thing, great. And Kamala has to do even less than Joe. She has to do this. Don't trot that woman out with her horrible voice. That's what she sounds like. It's horrible. Anyway, let's just leave it alone.
But no, you know who's doing way too much? I don't know if you've seen Kamala Harris's husband, who can't wait to get on TV and be the guy as well.
Yeah, he's doing the second gentleman.
He's doing way too much, that guy. Yo.
The second gentleman. Now, let me tell you something. You joked just now about how we should all have a number instead of a name because you have this dystopian idea of where we're headed.
I do.
And you might not be wrong. But can we not call someone a second gentleman? That is, I'd rather just, you know, call me Jeff or whatever his name is. Don't give me any title because being called the second gentleman. How's that ever going to be a good thing to be addressed as? The first gentleman, sure. Like I'm the husband to someone important, right? But to be the second gentleman, it's like that's like me saying the second wife, you know?
Yeah.
Or second princess, which is actually third place.
Second princess, yeah. Ugh. Anyway, all right. So let's get on with the rest of this because we've got to do some headlines in here. Let me tell you what's going on with the world around you. You got to be alive to these things that are happening. We can't just pretend they're not going on. ANC Limpopo had this big celebration for the ANC, and they've basically come out in full support of Cyril Ramaphosa, which I got to tell you is a bit of a surprise because there are a lot of people in the party who don't like him. And also that whole faction, you know, the whole Jacob Zuma and Ace Magashule faction, who I thought would have been a little more vocal at this party conference and this party that they had to celebrate the ANC. I think the ANC is 112 or something years old. Anyway, he has been overwhelmingly supported Stan Matabata, who you've never heard of before today, has thrown his weight behind Cyril Ramaphosa, and they're going to give him a second term as the party's president ahead of the elective conference at the end of the year. But I think there may be more electrics at the electoral conference at the end of the year than there are at this thing. This is just more of a celebration. And, you know, Cyril, who's, I don't know, he's probably got a sense of humor. He certainly has more of a sense of humor than a lot of politicians. But, you know, he kind of jokes, I'm hearing these noises of a second term. That's his take on that. He's not going to confirm or deny. So there's that going on. This weird story, I wonder what you guys might have thought about this if you heard the story. It's really something that's broken this week. The Moti brothers, remember they were all kidnapped, those Moti kids? Well, the police have confirmed that their investigations hit a bit of a snag. Apparently the father has obtained an interdict, which is preventing the police from interviewing these kids about what happened when they were abducted. Now, either that is because the father just wants to get the police away. Maybe his kids are very traumatized. You can understand they were gone for a while. And, you know, there may have been all kinds of threats made against them. If you talk to the police, we'll come after you. We know where to find you. They've also moved to Dubai, so they've left South Africa. Now, there are people who are saying, well, it's suspicious that the father won't let the police interview the kids. But I don't look at it that way. I see it as being, if you had your kids abducted, kidnapped, and you had to pay a ransom or you made some kind of a deal with the kidnappers, because we're not even sure what happened there, you would go, okay, I'm getting out of here now. That's it. I'm done.
Yeah, for sure.
You would want to protect your children, right? So you'd want to get the hell out. Plus, with our cops, if you look at like Becky Pele, and do you really want these people coming around to your house and making your kids even more traumatized every day?
Yeah, as much as we seem to think as the public that we're owed every bit of information.
Yeah, it's got nothing to do with us.
It's not going to change our lives whether or not we hear everything behind the scenes.
And what's it going to help anyway if we find out some stuff? We're going to help these kids. Listen, if I had children and they were kidnapped by some horrible asshole, I would be very angry, and I would just want to get away from the country and try to distance my kids as much as possible from the trauma, right?
Anyway, I would also want it to be with Christopher Waltz as the villain. I've always had a dream of like getting into a weird conflict with somebody with that German accent, and like it gets complicated.
He's a good villain.
Yeah.
He's a good villain. His first villain role was in Django, right?
I think that was when he came out. No, but he was on, what was the Brad Pitt one? The Tarantino one, man, with what? Brad Pitt in Inglourious Basterds. Wasn't that before Django? Yeah,
I think there was, I don't know. Anyway, look, you got to give Tarantino credit for finding him, I think. So maybe you've got a point there. Anyway, let's just look at this quick thing. There's a guy who became the first person in Colombia with a non-terminal illness to die by legal euthanasia. So these kinds of stories always interest me, because I'm fascinated with the idea that there are people who say you shouldn't be able to decide when it's time. That, you know, somehow the state or the church or someone else can get involved in that. Anyway, this guy,
Victor Escobar.
Well, he became the first person in Colombia with a non-terminal illness to make the decision. We reached the goal for patients like me who aren't terminal but are degenerative. So obviously he had one of those conditions where you just slowly start. He's got Lou Gehrig's disease, basically.
Yeah.
And he suffered from end-stage chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. And he just decided, you know what? I'm not going to deteriorate and watch myself get worse and worse and have a horrible life. I'd rather go now. So he decided that was the way to go. And I think that as we start to get a little more evolved, and parts of the world like Colombia, which never had this law before, start to make it possible for people to do this, you'll see a lot of people going, you know what? That's probably a good idea. I think I'm going to do that too. And hell, you should. You should be allowed to. Who else but you owns your meat, right?
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
You own your meat.
Not everybody wants to get old.
Well, exactly. Yeah, that's a very good way of putting it. Because, I mean, I told you about my dog, Carl, right, and how he's developed this heart situation. I had to take him to the vet the day before Christmas, and she's put him on chronic meds. And the poor guy is like, he can keep going on these meds, which, by the way, are going to cost me in the area of like R1,200 a month. It's a lot of money for a dog. And I'm looking at him going, you know what? Do I really want you getting older and older and older? I mean, I'm not going to deny him the meds, but she said he can keep taking these meds and it'll take him all the way to his deathbed. So we'll see what happens. But it's shitty getting old, man, whether you're a person, whether you're a dog, whether it's someone in your life that you're watching deteriorate. I could imagine Joe Biden's family, how awful they feel when they watch him trying to be president and he's demented. So sometimes it's better to switch off the machines, if you know what I mean. It's a hard decision to make, but something worth discussing. So we have a lot on the menu this morning, plenty, including in a little while, we'll talk about Leanne's disturbing search history. Because she went onto her browser and she typed in just a couple of, she went through the alphabet basically and she wrote down what came up in her search history. And you're not going to believe some of this stuff. Some of it is very, very disturbing. Some of it is very revealing of her personality. And she's the first one, so I'll try this tomorrow, and then maybe, Bulelo, you can reveal yours on Wednesday. We'll see how it goes. Anyway, got Collectomania on the way later on too. But first, here is the way to start this brand new year. And this is obviously the best way to start the year. It's something that people absolutely relied on as we closed off the end of last year. Dr. Hanan Bushkin, everybody loves him. I got to see him just before the holidays, and I hope you've had a break, Doc. You had a nice little break. You went away with the family, didn't you?
I did. Went driving right through the South Coast. I'm telling you, this country is magnificent. For those people who are complaining about what this country has to offer, oh boy, sure. If we just get our political situation right, this country is gold, I tell you. So it was great to see incredible sights and meet incredible people, which is really special for sure.
And the kids had a good time?
The best. We went camping, we went to the beach, we did some, the road tripping was the best. You know, the kids, yeah, it's funny because kids can just find play out of anything. You just give them just the space and the time, and they can just find joy in anything, which is a great lesson for us adults too. They don't need gadgets and they don't need extra, you know, fluff and all kinds of, they don't need anything. They just need sand and beach and air and time, and they just make the most out of it. It's beautiful.
Well, I did a little bit of mental health DIY and cleaning up over the holidays because I did a tech detox for a while. I hardly made any social media interactions. I didn't post very much. I wasn't online for at least 3 or 4 days in total when I was away, because it was actually really nice to not have a signal there and kind of just have conversations with people, and also sleep without checking your phone before you go to sleep and wake up without checking your phone before you, you know, really started doing the day. And it was really good. I thought that was something that is pretty easy. We can all do it. Might be a really good idea to start the year off with as little of that as possible. And I feel like I'm going to carry on doing that this year. I'm going to really budget time. You know how you said we've got so many coins. It's your coin theory, which I love. Don't waste the coins on stupid and meaningless interactions, and don't waste them on dumb things. I'm not going to waste time and attention on social media the way that we have been. I think it is overwhelmingly a worse thing for us than it is a good thing.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, if you just let it go, if you just let it take over, it will not help you. It will hinder you.
Yeah, for sure. No, listen, we can use social media for good. If you want to bake a beautiful chocolate cake, social media can be incredible. But if you're comparing your life to someone else's, then it's just a waste of time. And it's so easy to just kind of keep on scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. And 45 minutes later, you're still scrolling. And the terrible thing is that you're not scrolling and feeling better about yourself. It's not like by the end of the scroll, suddenly you have these extra coins to spend on your family and your friends, on your health. But the end of the coins, you're depleted. You want to go to bed and just rest and worry about your miserable life and how come you're not as good as person X, Y, and Z. So it doesn't make you better. It certainly doesn't.
Well, I didn't want us to start talking about that, but it was an interesting experience I had. So what I want to address this morning with you, and you're the best person to tell us about this. There are certain kinds of people that you encounter in your life that may not be good for you either. So just like social media, you should budget time with them. And we had a couple of really interesting people join us on the show and who you gave direct advice to with respect to their own toxic situations. But there are certain types of toxic and dangerous people who you need to avoid. And maybe you can start the new year by figuring out which of those people it would be worth giving a wide berth to. Right. Mm, how can we cut these people out? And you know, when you say cut people out, we don't mean like ghost them. We don't mean that you ignore them and pretend that they don't exist. Just limit the amount of time and influence that they have on your life.
For sure. So let me start by saying that it's a difficult question. You know, people ask me, like, how do you define even a toxic person? Mm. And so people say, well, a person doesn't make you feel good. But I want to remind everybody that the difference between children and adults, and you and I have discussed this before, the difference between children and adults is children really use their feelings as barometers to judge whether what they're doing is right or wrong. So to a child, what feels good must be good, and what feels bad must be bad. So chocolate feels good, it must be good for me, and broccoli right. feels bad, it must be bad for me. Adults, and I don't mean adults by age, because you get many 50-year-olds that are still 12-year-olds. So I mean, adults in terms of emotional maturity, they don't use their feelings as barometers. They use it in the context of what is my goal? What is my goal? And if it services my goal, then it's good for me. And if it doesn't service my goal, then it's not good for me, irrespective of how it feels. So gym, for example, services my goal. It feels horrible, but it's good for me because it's in service of what do I want. And goal setting, especially now at the start of this new year, is so important because it always starts with what do I want. And people don't want to set goals for a number of reasons. Number one is because the commitment to a goal requires you to let go of everything else. So right. the moment I commit to going to Cape Town, I have to let go of Joburg. I have to let go of the potential going to Durban. I have to let go of the potential going to the coast. I'm going to Cape Town. And people are very greedy. They want to go to Cape Town while still being in Joburg, while still driving to Durban, while still being at the coast. It doesn't work that way. Once I commit to marriage, I have to let go of being single. Once I commit to job A, I have to let go of potential job B. I have to. The commitment requires me to be an adult because that means I can't have sweet A and sweet B.
This is a religious, a fundamental part of religion and all the good teachings of religion. There's sacrifice involved, right?
Absolutely.
But I just want to quickly go back to something because we cannot emphasize this enough. We are being told all over the world in every media outlet by people on TV talk shows. We're being told this in blogs. We're being told this by motivational speakers. Trust your feelings, your feelings. How do you feel about this? Now, what you just said, and this is controversial, what you just said is no, only children make all their decisions based on their feelings. This is a huge step. Let's just go over that again because people need to, there's a lot of mixed messaging coming from the media.
Right. Let me be very clear. Absolutely.
What you just told us is very different. Like, you know, those ladies on The View who are like, well, I feel this way about it, so therefore it must be good for me.
Oh my gosh. No, you know what? Like this whole cult of trust your gut. What is gut? You know, the people go on, like, I trust my gut. And when I turn to people and go, what is your gut? Explain to me what your gut is. People are like, yeah, it's that inner voice. Really? Really? Let me tell you what gut is.
Well, Lelo's
gut
loving is, this, by the way.
Let me tell you what gut is. Gut is a mixture of your life experiences, plus the croissant that you had last night, plus the coffee that you drank this morning, plus your mother, you know, shitting on you in the morning because you woke up too late. That's a mixture of gut feel. So now suddenly you have another cup of coffee and you'll see your gut feel suddenly changes.
Yeah.
So we don't trust this gut feel. And I know it's very controversial because people love, especially the esoteric, people love this idea of trusting your gut. And I'm asking you to not trust your gut. I'm asking you to make decisions not based on how you feel. I'm asking you to make a decision on whether it services your goal.
Right.
And therefore, the starting point is always, what do I want? What do I want? So as I said to you, the reason why people don't want to set goals is because they have to sacrifice, as you correctly said. The second reason why people don't want to set goals is because now it puts right in front of you the potential of failure. The moment I set a target, I might miss it.
Right.
The moment I set a target. Exactly.
So people, by yourself and by other people and by society,
by social media, of course. So I don't want to go on social media and say, I'm going to lose 10 kilograms because I might not. So I just want to wing it. I want to wing it because just in case I don't make it, I'm not going to be judged. So people don't want to set goals because they don't want to fail. But let me tell you something. If you don't set goals, I'm telling you, you're going to be bleeding inefficiency. So if I think about it this way, if I'm setting my goal to go to Cape Town, that's where I'm going, and somebody comes along and says, can I have a lift to Durban? The answer is no. Now I can set boundaries because I know where I'm going. But if I don't know where I'm going and somebody says to me, can I have a lift to Durban? The answer is, yeah, why not? Listen, I was going nowhere anyway. So suddenly, 20 years later, I was everywhere for everyone else, but not for me, because I didn't set goals. If I don't service my God, I will service somebody else's God. Listen, I'm going to be serving a God anyway. That's right. Human nature. So people go, what if I don't have goals? What if I just stand still? Well, that's a perfect recipe for depression. So you don't have an option. So you have an option either to serve your God, somebody else's God, or be depressed. Those are your three options. That's it. So you choose. Are you going to service your God, somebody else's God, or are you going to be depressed? Well, depression is out of the question. Serving somebody else's God, well, think about it this way. Waking up at 92 years old at the end of your life, do you think you'd be proud of serving somebody else's God? So I want everybody to, at the very least, set goals for different areas of your life, for your relationship, for your health, for your financial security, for your sense of purpose. Set goals. Now, going back to toxic people, again, how do we judge and how do we assess whether somebody's toxic? Well, once you've set the goal, which can take you a little bit of time, but once you've set the goal, ask yourself, does this person make me get to my goal? Does this person service my goal? And if the answer is yes, then they're welcome in your circle. Mm-hmm. And if the answer is no, then they are toxic irrespective of their title. They're toxic irrespective of the title.
And irrespective of like automatic relationships, like just because they're family or just because you've been friends a long time. Or
that's what I mean by title for sure.
Because someone who you know, was friends with your ex, or you don't need to keep passengers on this train indefinitely.
Listen, one of the core principles that I live by is history does not mean value. Just because somebody was valuable to you then, it doesn't mean that they're valuable to you now. Listen, when I was 7 years old, I had different goals. Certain people service their goal. When I was 16 years old, I had different goals. Some people service their goal. Now at 42, I have different goals. And those people that serviced other goals are no longer of service to my goal. And that's okay. There's nothing selfish in the traditional way of saying, hey, I'm only going to welcome people into my space that service my goal. As a matter of fact, that's the only way that you should be living.
Right.
To live for everybody else, what kind of medal do you think like it gives you some form of accolade? Do you kind of, you know, wear a medal at the end of the year going, yes, I helped everybody else by myself? You have no service to your kids, to your wife, if you help everybody else and not your circle and not your goal. So we start with, what is your goal? And ask yourself, do the people in my circle help me service that goal? And if they don't, we label them as, and let's call it unhelpful people, or let's use our terminology, toxic people.
So, Dr. Hanan, I wanted to ask you something. You used the word there that I was having a pretty heated conversation with somebody after I'd let them know a little something about how I roll in my personal life. But one thing I said to this person is, there's a reason why, number one, I'll never date anybody who's never been an elite athlete. Not because I think I'm better than people. It's because I know they understand sacrifice.
No, but you also think you're better than
people. Well, I am better than people, but that's a different conversation for a different time. But the only context I've ever lived life in where I know people know what sacrifice is in an elite sporting environment. one thing I've realized is people don't get to practice how to sacrifice. You know, you can practice that, but I don't know how we can do it for children. So maybe it's something for another podcast to, oh, for you to maybe bring to us something once you've maybe given it some thought. But people,
I do think it deserves. Sorry, Mbulelo, I don't want to interrupt, but we've got like 2 minutes left of this. This little bit with Dr. Kanan, and you both have hit on this really interesting idea of sacrifice and what it is and where it comes from and why it's good, because essentially the present you is delaying gratification for the future you, and humans are unique in their ability to do that. Animals don't know how to do that. A lot of children don't know how to do that. And unless you learn delayed gratification and you learn to invest in the future you by sacrificing things today, your life doesn't get better. It just gets worse or stays exactly the same. And as Dr. Kanan said, that's probably not a great way to go. I think we must explore this in another discussion because it's too big to just gloss over this morning. But I do like this idea of like not this trust your gut nonsense that so many people go along with. Start the year properly. And by the way, Dr. Kanan, with the goals, because that's also audacious for some people. It's scary. You know, it's
absolutely.
It makes them anxious. They're like, oh God, but I have to set these incredible goals, or I have big ambitions, and now I have to write them down. I have to live up to my own standards. It doesn't have to be big things, right?
No, completely. It has to be simple, simple steps that excite you, simple steps that you can identify with. But I want you to differentiate between all the different areas of your life, and I'll finish off by telling you the eight different areas of your life that you should be very conscious of setting goals in, and sit down and write it out. Don't be lazy. Sit down and write it out. And whatever draft you write is good enough. And maybe through these podcasts, we can kind of expand on it a bit more. But these are the eight areas: career, financial security, family, friends, romantic, diet, exercise, and sleep. Those are the eight areas that you should definitely start with writing simple, specific, realistic, measurable goals that you can be excited about. Start there and then judge whether the people in your world service that goal or not.
I love it. Those eight categories, you see, this is what makes a podcast great. You just hit that little back 15 seconds, you write them down, and you just put one little thing down in each category. Start off there, and then you can expand on that as you go. But don't put too much pressure on yourself all at once. And also, this whole idea that everybody has to have everything organized and together on the 1st of January, it's nonsense, right?
Absolutely. Start small.
And it's a work in progress. Give yourself a bit of a chance.
Throughout your life. It doesn't end.
Okay, beautiful. Dr. Hanan, it's great to see you. This is the perfect way to start the year. We got some good and useful information to get cracking on 2022. I hope it's going to be a great year for you. I hope that lots of people are going to benefit from our weekly interactions. And of course, if you have any ideas or you have any personal issues you want to unpack with Dr. Kanan, we don't care how personal it is. If you need the help, this is where we will give it to you. You're not going to get a free consultation from someone who's as experienced as Dr. Kanan anywhere else. And if you try to get an appointment with a really good shrink, good luck to you. They're all full up because there's so many people with problems out there. So this is the place to get it for free. And by doing it, by sharing it with us, by sharing it with Dr. Kanan, you may just end up helping other people who aren't brave enough to come forward. So this is something to think about too. If you're going through a lot, you've got some kind of personal issue you want to unpack, you've just had a horrible divorce, you just had a really terrible holiday with somebody, you've decided to cut someone out of your life, you decided to bring someone else into your life, you've got something you want to discuss, here's where you can do it. We will welcome you with open arms. You don't have to worry about people making fun of you, because the point of this show is to help you, not to make you feel bad. All right.
Very good.
Thank you, Doc.
Nice to see you guys. All right. See you next week.
Excellent. Dr. Kanan Bushkin, we will catch up with him in the next while and see him every Monday for It's Going to Be Okay. And you know what? If it's not okay, that's also where you bring us your stories. We can unpack them and help sort out other people's lives.
What's that guy's skin routine? Unbelievable.
He's good, huh? Yeah. You ever see him in person? Like, and his whole family. Like, his wife is beautiful. His kids are these really cute kids. Like, I don't know. He's a walking, talking, living example of how if you get it right up here, the rest follows.
Yeah. Talk about scrolling through social media and looking at other people's good lives.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here he is on this show every week, but you get to see that it's not all fake and surface with you know, with people here. We dig deep. All right, everybody. We got lots of other good stuff still to come. This is CliffCentral.com. It is Monday, the 10th of January, and we are here with a pile of stuff that we've got to get through this morning. Get those conversations going. Glad to have you on board. Happy New Year. Are you allowed to say Happy New Year after the...
No, after the second, no. Not after the second, yeah. The second, it's enough now. We must get back to work. Yeah.
Right. Thank you. All right. We'll be back in a moment. CliffCentral.com.